Man, it has been a fun semester. And I'm not talking about crowds, which we have had crowds, but it has been a fun semester with students leading Bible studies and students worshiping together. Just imagine that Made for More song that we just sang tonight in a room that has no chairs left in it that you can sit in with students singing. If you want to hear what that sounds like, go to our Instagram page. There is a video of that up. If you want to keep up with some stuff that's going on, you can go to Instagram, Facebook. We have both of those. And so that's something that you can do and watch. And it's crazy. You know, it has these, where you can see how many views stuff has had. That particular video has had over 1,500 views. And so, which is kind of cool. I don't know whether y'all knew that or not, but it's neat. To be in that worship environment with those students on Wednesday night just is great. Tonight we're going to be in Psalm 133, three verses, not going to take too long to cover three verses, maybe not, we'll find out. But Psalm 133, this is actually the psalm that we prayed through and prayed with this past Thursday morning with the men of the church. If you have not had an opportunity to meet us at 6:30 over at the corner, you've got one more opportunity in November to come over and do that. We'll meet this Thursday and then take a break for the holidays and things that are going on around. But we've had a good time praying on Tuesday mornings with the college students and also with the men there on Thursday. And so, but this is the one that we used this past week, and that's what we've been doing, is going through Scripture and using it to pray. There's no better way to look at things and pray what somebody's already prayed because they've gone through stuff and they know how it can help. Prayer is a great thing that we can have in our life. As most of you know, I officiate basketball. Sometimes I have fun doing that, and sometimes I get yelled at by deacons. And not going to point any fingers, but he's sitting on the front row. But anyhow, allegedly. Usually it's a crew of three. I don't like doing two-man anymore. I'm getting too old to do that, and I don't know that I remember how to do two-man anyhow. And although fans think most of the time it's just a crew of one, we're just out there for ourselves. But the reality is we're out there to make a couple of dollars. That's about it. If they didn't pay me, I wouldn't do it. If I didn't have fun, I wouldn't do it. Because I get yelled at too much throughout all that. But before each game, we have a crew meeting. And we sit down and we talk about things that are going to happen in the game. We review the rules. We talk about how we're going to do things, how we're going to work together, remind each other how we're going to however the play goes, and if things happen that go wonky in the game, then we remind each other of the steps and we need to take care of that and make sure everybody knows what's going on. And this is when we all get on the same page. And we all understand what's happening, all the ins and outs and everything that needs to happen during that game. And we discuss how we can best work as a crew to the best of our abilities to make sure the game is adjudicated correctly. And so everybody can have fun, including the players, the fans, and the referees. And so that is something that we do. And it works the same with y'all, right? Y'all get together as families, and y'all get together as people at work. I know if you work out at the nuclear plant, you have safety meetings, right? A lot. To make sure everything works right and everything goes. And I'm sure it happens to other jobs. I worked a job one time that we had to do exercises in the morning so everybody could, which I thought was just goofy, but anyhow, that's one of those things. Give y'all a definition this evening. Harmony is an agreement of ideas, feelings, or actions. It's a pleasing combination of different parts. So harmony is something that we all tried to have, right? We all tried to come together and have that. One of the things that I like is a cappella music. Don't ask me why, but I do. In fact, this afternoon I listened to a few a cappella groups and just because it came up and I was listening and I wanted to listen to it. And the reason I like that is because it's always interesting to me that how people can make different sounds with their voices. That interesting to anybody else, or am I the only one? How you can make your mouth sound like a harmonica or a drum or a trumpet, or it's just, and all those people come together and make it work, right? And so there are a couple of groups out there that are interesting to listen to, and I don't know anything else about them, but I do like how they sound. I like four-part harmony. I'm not very good at harmonizing singing. I can't even sing anymore. I don't know if I could ever to begin with. But I like how that's good and pleasant to listen to. Anybody else that way? I love listening to people here that can sing. And that is every one of you. If you didn't know that, you can sing. God said make a joyful noise, and I make a noise, and I want to make sure it's joyful. So you can sing. I love listening to you sing. I love listening to the college students sing, but I like things that are good and pleasant to listen to. Some of you may not agree with my choice of music or anything like that, but it's okay. You can be wrong, just like fans can be wrong when I officiate. But it's good. So this psalm is brief, and it's considered one of the four shortest psalms in the chapters here. 117, 134, and 131, and 133 are some of the shortest psalms that there is. But this psalm is crucial for us to read and for us to know. It is a celebration of family, of brotherhood, of unity. And so when they went to Jerusalem and they were going to worship, they would sing songs. They would sing things as they went. And this is probably one of those. And through my research, it could have been when David's was ascending to the throne. And they were singing this about that. And they wanted Israel to recognize and Israel to join together throughout all of this. And so if you'll stand, we'll read these three short verses of Psalm 133. It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments." In verse 3, "It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessings, life forevermore." By the way, would you pray for us tonight? Amen. You may be seated. Now, the opening verse, verse 1 here, makes a value judgment on unity. The value judgment is that unity is good. It's not just good, but it's pleasant. I like being unified, right? Believe me, if you're married, you like being unified. You like being together in one mind and one accord with your wife and with your family. Because if you're not, what happens? Everything goes south. It all goes south. But it says here that how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. No matter how hard unity is, there's always going to be reasons to pursue it. Always reasons to pursue it. And this is something that this psalm illustrates. And one reason is for Christians to pursue unity because we're family. We are. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. Not only do I have a family at home, but I have a family here. And I think that's pretty awesome. Just so you'll know that. I like having multiple people in my family. Maybe not all of y'all in my house. But in my family, I like having multiple people. We're family because we're diverse. Every one of y'all in here have different thoughts and ideas and wants and wishes and all of that, right? Y'all are going to have to talk back to me tonight. I'm needing y'all to do that, all right? But we're all diverse. Our church family, our nuclear family, we're all different, but we should be a lot of the same. We should spend time with together. We should care for each other. We should celebrate each other. Man, I'm going to tell you, y'all don't know how much these students celebrate y'all. They're thankful for you, for what you do. You know, we celebrate birthdays, right? We celebrate anniversaries. We celebrate when somebody's saved. We celebrate when somebody's baptized. We celebrate when some huge thing happens in our family. And that's not just at home, but that's here. We celebrate. I mean, Christmas is coming. We're going to celebrate a huge thing, right? We're going to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. And I'm ready for that. I'm ready to celebrate. Next Sunday night, I'm ready to celebrate. I want to celebrate the goodness that God has given us as a church. The goodness God has given to me individually and to my family. Man, I've got so much to be thankful for. And that's a reason that we should, because we love each other. We should mourn with each other. You know, John 13:35, it says that we should love one another. I'm going to turn there real quick. John 13:35. I know I didn't tell you to put this up on the scripture, but I just lost it off the top of my head. But John 13:35, it says this: by this all will know that you are my disciples, if what? You love one another. You see, Christian love is meant to distinguish us from non-believers. It's to distinguish us from non-believers. This ring on my finger distinguishes me from somebody else that's not married. And says that I'm Sonia's. And because I believe Jesus Christ, I should love each and every one of you. And because you believe Jesus Christ, you should love me. Please, do so. And all my faults, please do so. You know, we're not always going to agree on non-critical issues. You caught those three letters in front of that, right? Non-critical issues. Like on carpet or air conditioner temperature. We're not going to agree on those. But we should always agree on Jesus. Always agree on Jesus. Families do that. Families agree on things that matter. You know, a lot of people said blood's thicker than water. Well, the blood of Jesus Christ is what covers us. That's what I'm hanging on to. Christian love, we are distinguished because of that. When our relationships are marked by unity, there is a joy that cannot be overstated. I cannot tell you how much joy I have in my life. And we've used this scripture here the past couple of weeks, and joy is one of our words that we use for the semester. And I think the last time I preached, I talked about that joy. But Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, in joy we have strength. Because it should be the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength, is what the scripture says. But because we have that strength, that's where our joy comes from. And as a family, where does your joy come from? If we have a bond with Christ, your joy should come from Him. Because He gives each and every one of us strength. You know, the second verse here, it talks about a precious oil that's poured on the head running down the beard of Aaron, all the way down to the edges of his garments. And if you go back and you look at Exodus chapter 30, it talks about the anointing of Aaron. And it talks about all that, and I'm not going to read that to you. But the anointing oil was symbolic of God's protection. David references this priestly anointing of Aaron, and it ties the concept of brotherly love to unity with the spiritual role. You know, in John 17, verses 21 through 24, Jesus says, I pray that they will all be one. Talking about His disciples. He prays that they will all be unified. And I want you to understand that He wants that unity because there's unity between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You can't untie them. They're unified.
Aaron, David considered this oil to be precious, not because it was oil, but
because of what it represented. It represented a mark that was placed on Aaron and his family and everything that was in the temple. The oil was to be placed on everything so it would be consecrated, so it would be holy. And that oil that was poured on Aaron's head was enough to run all the way down to the edge of his garments. Man, do you understand that when David says how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity, that's how we're covered. There's so much of unity among us as brethren that it's running off of our garments. That it's flowing everywhere. Everything is meant to be holy and acceptable. Y'all know that? Everything is meant to be holy and acceptable. 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen people." All Christians, those that are saved by the faith in Christ, are part of a spiritual priesthood. And unity and love for one another within the church is both a divine command and a profound blessing. I want us to be unified as a church. And I want us to understand how that is in relationship to what God has for us to do. You know, we can have fun and we can joke around and we can and not do things as each other sees sometimes. But like I said, when it comes down to serving Jesus, we need to serve Jesus. And we need to be unified in doing that. Verse 3, it says, "It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." And if you don't know anything about Hermon, it's a mountain that's quite a distance from Jerusalem. It's at the northeast border of the kingdom of Israel. It's a mountain range so tall that you can see it from a long ways away. You can see the snow on top of it. One of the coolest things that, you know, Peyton's living in Utah right now. And he'll call us and go, "Man, there's snow all over the mountaintops." It was snowing on him the other day. And y'all like snow on mountains? Man, when I went to Israel, we went up north, and there was snow up there. It was cold. And we come down south, and I was about to burn up. But I like snow on the mountains. You see, this mountain range is so tall, it can be seen as far away as from the Dead Sea. And it helps with the water sources throughout the region. This is a natural thing. This is a flow that comes and gives life to the nation of Israel. Water that flows down from the mountains. The third thing that because we should have unity, is because it is fruitful. Unity brings forth fruitfulness. David knew that all of Jerusalem benefited from Hermon. From the water that came flowing down the mountain. He understood that God's people relied upon that. Much needed water that brought life to dry ground. Just as harmony is good and pleasant, it can bring fruit to our church. It can bring fruit to our families. I promise you, if your family's not bringing fruit, it's because you're out of harmony. You can be poor, you can be rich, you can be whatever. But if family is not harmonized and in unity, you're not bringing fruit. You're bringing anger and destruction. Man, I love it when I'm not fighting with Sonia. Praise God, that's most of the time. She may be fighting with me, but I'm not fighting with her. So, each family, each church needs to see that the blessings are coming from God. They're much needed. You know, here's the thing. They can be good and pleasant and bring forth fruit. And it allows for strength in the community. How strong is a church that's not unified? It's not. At all. There is a space there. Everything that's not unified for Jesus is an opening for Satan to get a hold of. And dig in. And so it brings strength to the community. Verse 1, go back to that, it says, it allows us to dwell together in unity. It leads to greater outreach. Why? Because it allows us to have a heart for others. Anybody here have a heart for others? Well, that wasn't enough. I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to ask you again, and I want you to give an honest answer. Do you have a heart for others? Some days I do, some days I don't. There's my honest answer. I had a student one day, he posted on his social media, "I am done with people today." You laugh because you've had the same thoughts. I'm done with people today. There's a lot of days that I'm done with people. I officiate, right? And I can be done with people pretty quick. I'm a pastor. Sad reality of it is we all can be done with people pretty quick. And our heart for others can be shut off for a little while. Because things don't go the way that they should. People don't treat us the way they should. And praise God, I love y'all. And y'all treat me pretty well. Y'all love me, right? True? All right, good. All right. Sometimes, there we go. It allows us to have that heart for others. And we need to. We need to have a heart for others. It leads to a more powerful witness. Man, if we're unified, how much of a great witness should we have? I think Brother Doug spoke about that last Sunday or a couple weeks ago, whenever it was. For our witness of this church to be magnified because of the Lord and God that we serve, it should be magnified not because of us, but because of Him. It allows us to let God's Word live in us. That's what we need, right? Is God's Word to live in us. So those blessings that He has for us can flow out on us as a church, for our families, and for individuals. You see, unity is rooted in the gospel itself. You realize that, right? It's rooted in the gospel itself. John 3:16 says what? God so loved the world. Let me go back and read that because I'm having a hard time remembering all the scriptures that I want to this morning or this evening. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In 17 and 18 it says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You see, there's not unity there between us and God. And so we need to believe in Him. Without Him, we are condemned. Everything that, as far as unity goes, is rooted in that gospel. That Jesus Christ came for us who were separated from Him. And He wants to unify us back together with Him. How great of a concept is that? Not only is it a concept, it's a truth that we all need to grab a hold of. If you don't know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you can't say that you're unified at home with your families, because He's your first step in being unified. You need Jesus Christ in your life. You see, unity fosters a sense of love, peace, and a shared purpose. Do we all share the same purpose? We should. Good answer. Unity comes as a blessing from God who enables an otherwise fallible Kelly Roach, otherwise fallible Lance Fetters, other fallible T.J. Richard. Man, I could call all your names in this room. It enables fallible people to live in harmony. See, Jesus Christ is the binding agent here. Jesus' sacrifice is the binding agent. We need Him in our lives. We need Him in our church. We need Him in our families so we can have unity and walk the way that He wants us to walk in harmony. You know, we're all here together. I'm responsible for Brother Ken. Brother Ken's responsible for me. I'm responsible for Josh. Josh is responsible for me. Do you know why? Because I'm responsible for my family. Your family. We're all responsible for one another. We're to love, care, and nurture one another. All of us. Not just the pastors, but all of us are to love and care one another. Even these college students, when we're over there, they're to love and care for one another. They're to help each other, edify each other, build each other up, strengthen each other's walk. That's what we're supposed to do as family, is to help each other. Because everything that we have comes from God. I have nothing without Him. I don't have you. I don't have my family at home. I don't have a ministry. Everything comes from God. There's no shortage of grace for any of us. And trust me, I need that abundance of grace every day. Every day. I need it.